So we want to greet you in Jesus' name, and thank you, Brother Joe Ebersole, for that sharing this morning. It was at a meeting just recently where it was taught the importance of confessing truth with your mouth, how that it will change your life simply by confessing with your mouth truth from the scriptures, truth from the Word of God, and those things. I just have a new appreciation for the thing of together stating truth in the congregation, and just reciting and scriptures and stating the truth of the scriptures. It is powerful. It is life changing. There is something about confession that goes much deeper than we can imagine, I believe. Simply confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus, it's a part of our salvation. It's a part of our connection to God. And I feel that's what we were doing this morning. In the singing and in the readings and in the statements that were made, that we were proclaiming truth. And I feel it's a very powerful worship tool. And I appreciate that this morning. This morning I knew there was going to be scripture readings and things, and I figured I'll probably be reading the scripture that I was planning to read, and that did happen. So I think maybe I'll just go ahead and read it again. St. John chapter 20, I wanted to share a few thoughts. And I think I'll just read down over that again. It was already read this morning, but it doesn't. I think I'm going to go ahead and read it again. The message of the resurrection through the Apostle John. It says, upon the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, and when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. And then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulcher. So they both ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes laying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and see two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She said, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, to your Father, to my God, to your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day, at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. I appreciated this writing of John. The story of the resurrection is in all four Gospels, I believe, to some extent. Quite a bit. But there's one thing that John brings out that none of the other ones do. Does anybody know what that is? John mentions one thing that nobody else mentions. And it's kind of interesting to me that John mentions that when they went in, they saw the linens laying to the side. And then he says, but the napkin was not with the linens. It was folded up and laying someplace by itself. What is the significance of that to anyone? Does anyone share what would be the significance of that? That the napkin, Richard?
I think in Jewish tradition or Hebrew tradition, it means that it wasn't done yet. The meal wasn't done yet. There, I'm coming back.
Right. Right. According to the Jewish traditions, that whenever someone was at the table eating, if they were going to leave the table, when they were finished, they would bunch the napkin up and lay it on the table. But if they were just taking a break, they were going to the restroom or something, they're going to come back, they would fold the napkin neatly and lay it on the table so that the waiters or whoever's taking care of it would know that they're coming back again. So this is the message that I see in this is that Jesus is saying, I'll be back again. I'm coming back again. Jesus is coming back again. He's not finished. It's coming. He's coming again. So I believe that's the message to us today, and I believe it's very vital to us today because we are at that time. Surely it can't be long till the eastern sky will be broken and Jesus will come through as the Lord of heaven and earth and will come to receive his people unto himself. I believe he proclaimed that right there in the tomb that he's coming back again. He's coming again. And that prophecy is still, we are still looking for that time. And I believe it's very near that Jesus is coming again. He's coming to receive us unto himself. He's coming to gather the church unto himself. And he's coming to judge the world in righteousness, in holiness. He's coming. He's coming again. Also, something that stood out to me in this chapter and in throughout, as I read the numerous places of I read through the different accounts of the resurrection and of his last days, and one of the main concerns that he had, one thing that he mentioned over and over to his disciples, was what he said there in verse 22. He was concerned that he says, that they receive the Holy Ghost. Over in chapter 16, I think it is, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." The Comforter, he was concerned. His big concern was that as he goes away, that the Comforter comes and that they will receive the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, at one place he says, he's referring to the works that he did, healings and his miracles and the many things that he did. He said, "When I go away, the Comforter will come and you will do these things. You will do the things that I do, and you will do greater things than these. Greater things than these you will do." And I believe that has to do with the transformation of lives, the preaching of the gospel, the transformation power of the gospel. I believe it's something that is something that even the disciples didn't experience back then yet, where the power of the Holy Spirit comes within and transforms us from the inside out, changes us from the inside out. The power and the presence of God dwelling within us, that power of the resurrection is the power that transforms lives. And I believe that's probably the work that Jesus was talking about when he said, "Greater works than these shall ye do." Because without the Holy Spirit dwelling within, there is not a true righteousness. There's not a true relationship. There's not a power and a grace to live our lives in fullness through the power and the power and the grace of God. This morning, I'm going to read. Some more scripture here. I don't have a long message this morning, but there's just a few points that are on my heart this morning and I want to share. In Romans chapter 8 is a powerful scripture. It's one of my favorite chapters of the entire Bible. And there's especially one verse there that stands out to me this morning when we think of the power of the resurrection. I'm going to read some of this. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Verse 11, let's all read it together. "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." That's a powerful verse. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I think I'll just continue there. The spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's what the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that will come into your heart and into your life. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead there in the garden, in that tomb, that same power that rolled the stone away, that same power that brought life back to his dead body, that same power is the power that God wants to place into your heart and into your life. He wants it to be the normal experience of every child of God. That is the normal Christian life, to have that same power dwelling within us, so that we are not, that we have shall quicken our mortal bodies, so that we can be alive, that we can be eternally alive, that we can have life within us that will never end, life within us that will go through all of eternity. We have life within us. We have a power within us that overcomes even death. We have a power that overcomes every situation. We have power to overcome sin. We have power over Satan. We have power over the temptations of the devil, the influences of the world. We have power to be victorious in Jesus every day, because that power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within my heart and in your heart, that we have the reality of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And this, I believe, was Jesus' highest concern and his goal, his heart for the church. Whenever he was preparing to leave, he was concerned that the church will receive the Holy Spirit. He was concerned that the Holy Spirit will come and take its place in the church and be that guiding light, the guiding spirit, the spirit that gives life, the spirit that gives power, the spirit that gives victory for the Christian. And that is my challenge to every one of us here this morning, that we are experiencing that grace and that power within us today, that power that raised Jesus from the dead. That is the power of the resurrection. That is the power that you and I can experience today as we walk with him. That when we go out in the world in the dark, evil situations that we face in the world today, you know, if we follow the news at all, and we see the things that are coming upon the earth, and the evil that is pressing in against the churches, and the persecution that's coming against the churches, we know that there is a power that will keep us in every situation. There's a power to overcome through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that we need not to fear, but that we can continue on in peace. And I love that, where Jesus, when he met with his disciples, one of his highest concerns also was, he would say, peace be unto you, peace be unto you. If you are experiencing are you experiencing that peace this morning? Are you experiencing the peace of God? Jesus wants peace to every one of our hearts. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have power. He wants us to experience the reality of his presence within us, that there will be a radiant light in the world today. In the darkness of this world, the darker the world is, I believe the brighter the church will shine. So I believe we need this morning to let our light shine, to be walking in peace, and allowing the power of God to manifest itself within us, to bring glory to him, to accomplish his work here in these end times, in these last days that we're living. If there's anyone here this morning who's not experiencing that peace and that power, it's available for you today. There's nothing to take it away. There's nothing can stop you from experiencing it. The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is available. And every one of us are able to experience that today. And if there's anything lacking that, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. This morning I had my message, my notes and everything all typed up, and my printer wouldn't work, and so I only had a few scripture verses scribbled down. Is about all I ended up with here this morning. So that's a little about all I have to share this morning, but it's my challenge to you all that we can rise up and walk forward in the power of God, the resurrection power of God, that it can be our everyday experience with God, living in the light of the gospel and allowing His purposes to be accomplished in our life, living free from the bondage of sin, free to the grace of God in our life this morning. Okay, let's stand for prayer, and we have a fellowship dinner today, and we'll pray for the food. Trust we'll have good fellowship today. Father in heaven, we come to you this time, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you that you are alive, that you are on the throne, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, we know that you're coming again, and we pray that you would empower each one of us to live holy lives, that we might be ready to receive you into be received into your kingdom when you come, Lord. We just pray, Father, Thy will be done in each one of our life today. Bless the food that's been provided. We pray that your hand will be upon our fellowship this afternoon or this morning, Lord. We just trust you to keep your hand upon us and make us a blessing, and you would be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.